The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Mark. Jesus said, "But in those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware. Keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Holy God, send your Spirit upon us. Fill our hearts, our minds, our imaginations with the fire that is you. Amen. Have a seat. In those days after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will be falling from the heavens, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. You think that's what they meant by Black Friday? Whatever happened to Advent? Whatever happened to Advent? I remember, you know, when I was young, that, wow, did I really just say that? Sound like my father. When I was a young man. But I'm not even that long ago. I mean, I had children, and so I wasn't that young. And I remember when people started complaining that the malls were putting up their stuff kind of before Easter, it seems like that. Before Thanksgiving, you know, it was like, you know, what's going on? It's not even Thanksgiving yet. And this year, I actually saw a number of retail places that put their Christmas stuff up before Halloween. Yeah, so it's amusing, I guess, if that's the way we want to look at it. I do love the Nordstrom's ad that says, "We choose to celebrate one holiday at a time." But when you're Nordstrom's, you can do whatever you want. But culturally, we've completely lost Advent. I mean, now, there's a lot of things going on there. There's the retail element of that. There's the denominational element that some churches have a greater emphasis on Advent than others. You know, the liturgical churches, the Catholic Church, the Episcopal Church, the Orthodox Church tend to have a much stronger sense of Advent than some of the non-liturgical Christian denominations. So I get that. It's kind of a cultural thing in a number of ways. But at the same time, I think Advent's a really important time in the liturgical calendar. And for a number of reasons that I'll get into in a second. But then they give us these readings. In their great wisdom of those who put together the lectionary, they give us these readings about the end times and, you know, the second coming and in some kind of dark and dreary sense and whatever. And I'm like, dude, who wants Advent if that's Advent? You know, it's just weird. I mean, read this reading again. Not right now because I'm talking, but you know, read this reading again because it is. It's just weird. And listen to them as they unfold. And if you think about even the pre-Advent stuff, you know, the stuff we've been reading over the last couple of weeks, it felt more like Halloween than Advent. And no, Halloween is not a liturgical holiday, except for in Massachusetts. So these readings kind of even come up against our theology and the culture even within the church. Because everybody's in this rush to Christmas. Even we are in some sense. You know, we're doing all these things that we like to do around the Christmas time, but we have to do them in Advent because we got to get ready to do them for Christmas. And we're like, you know, the angel tree and the stocking stuffing and the gift wrapping and the gifts and the, you know, to be given out to those people who can't afford their own, which is a wonderful thing. But it just feels like Christmas and not Advent. And then starting probably tomorrow, knowing Priscilla, we're going to start rehearsing the pageant. And we're not. Don't panic. It's next Sunday. And, you know, it all just feels like this, like pre-Christmas and not Advent. You know what I mean? It feels like pre-Christmas, not Advent. Or like, you know, this month-long Christmas Eve. You know, I love how people express Advent in terms of how many shopping days are left. The answer is 24. But that's not what Advent's about. Advent has always been about this sense of preparation. This sense of preparation. But the question then is, prepare for what? Because again, we have these really weird readings that are not real helpful on their surface unless we understand the context in which they were given to us. I think that's really important when we read Scripture, that we understand the context, because then it becomes so much richer. So much richer for us. So I'll give you a quick kind of contextual study of the Advent lessons. So you've got to remember that, and if you didn't know this, you'll now remember it. So that when the earliest writers of the earliest writers of the Old Testament, let me start over again. When the earliest writers of the New Testament wrote, Paul being really the earliest, he was writing in a time when there were people alive who actually knew and had a historic memory of the man Jesus. Maybe a generation separated, but Jesus was a very real guy, okay? There were people who knew him. There were children of people who had followed him. You know, his physical presence was a very real thing in those early communities after his resurrection. Because the memory was still so strong. And Paul really thought that Jesus was coming back any day. And I don't mean any day like, oh yeah, you know, Christ is risen, you know, Christ will come again kind of any day. I'm talking about like tomorrow is a distinct possibility. So Paul is writing in this context of, with this great sense of urgency. There's no mañana in Paul's theology. It's all about the here and now because this may be it. So it's not about, I'll take care of that later. Well, there may not be a later. You know, I'll work on my spirituality and my faith journey on another day. Well, yeah, but what are you going to do if there's not another day? So Paul is constant. Paul's words, although they can be, any Pauline speech can be a little irritating at times, but if you look at it carefully, it's always this encouragement, you know, to move forward, to build on what you've got, to keep going, to encourage others. It's this urgency, this concept of the imminent coming again of Jesus. All right, so then the gospel writers are in a little bit different situation. They're compiling this stuff a few generations at the least after Jesus' death and resurrection, okay? So the memory, the historic memory of the man Jesus is a little bit more distant. Yet the theology of the second coming, the theology of Jesus is coming any day now, so to speak, is still pretty preeminent to, is a preeminent theme within their theology. Now, the problem we got is 2014 years later or so, give or take how people have messed with the Gregorian calendar over time, I don't know. You know, today, tomorrow, hope not. I got a lot of work to do. But, you know, this idea of the coming again of Jesus kind of doesn't feel like that theology of not another generation will pass before Jesus' return. I love that expression. Not another generation will pass. That is certainty, man. Put it on paper. But yet, here we sit. Do you remember those bumper stickers that was, you know, if you see this car without a driver, the rapture has happened? Do you remember that? There was a great one out that says, if the rapture happens, can I have your car? You know, it's such an interesting mindset. In many ways, and in some ways really boring. But here we are. So here we sit. And we sit here at the beginning of Advent wondering, what are we doing? Or probably you're sitting there sitting at the first of Advent going, what is he doing? It's about preparation. It's not about if Jesus is going to show up tomorrow or this afternoon or, you know, before the Pats play next. But it's about preparation. It's about making a place in our hearts and in our minds and in our imagination, in our lives, for the Christ. Now, the easy go-to on that is this annual celebration of the coming of Jesus as this little baby, right? Everybody loves a baby. Well, most everybody loves a baby. You know, they're usually cute. I got a phone call from Chris Cron the other day. Who don't know her? She's the assistant here a few generations ago, and she and her wife have had a baby recently named Jack. And she said, "I said, how's it going?" She goes, "I'm convinced they're cute as a survival technique." She goes, "Because no matter how late he keeps you up, you know, you look at that baby in the morning, you're like, oh, he's so cute." So I had a conversation with a woman the other day who was talking about how good her baby's head smelt. Yeah, right? It's a mom thing, isn't it? You never hear a dad go, oh, God, his head smells so good. I mean, it's a mom thing, and yeah. But babies are easy. You know, that little baby in the manger, you know, it's dark, and there's talking animals around, and there's, you know, young Mary in her very demure, quiet way, yeah, sure, and Joseph being Joseph, and we've all got this scene set in our heads, and it makes sense, and we understand it, and we've been taught it, and we reenact it, and we celebrate it, and yeah, okay, we can wrap our heads around that, sort of. We can receive that baby into our lives. That's easy. But I think that Advent is more than just the annual celebration, preparing for the annual celebration of the coming of the Christ child. It's really about that issue of not another generation will pass before the coming of Christ. Because not a single generation has passed that has not been participant in the coming of the Christ. And this generation will not pass before the coming of Christ. This morning will not pass before the coming of Christ. Because I can stand here and look out into this room and know that Jesus is amongst us. It's called the incarnation. It's called the body of Christ. It's called the community gathered. It's called looking into the faces of people I know and I love and people I have no idea who they are because they won't fill out a welcome card. And to even wake up and to be irritated with my children and say that Jesus is in front of me. It's about preparing a place in my heart, in our lives, that is big enough to receive the Christ child in the form of you and I. It's about creating a place in our lives that is big enough not just to walk down the street and to run into a friend you haven't seen in a while and to embrace them knowing, but to walk down the street and really fight the urge to cross over because you just don't want to deal with the person you see. It is to struggle. It is to struggle with the idea that each and every one of us has within us the light of God, the Spirit of the living God. That's what this Advent candle is about. It's not about ticking off weeks till Christmas. It's about showing us that within the body of Christ, within the incarnation, with the Emmanuel, light shines in the darkest of places. And let me tell you, this can be a very dark place. This can be a very dark place. But we receive each other if we are prepared, if we have done the work, if we open our minds and our hearts and our imaginations and our lives wide enough to receive each other as the coming Christ. We know what Advent is truly about. Years and years ago, before I came here, which seems like years and years ago, which was, actually, praise be to Jesus, I started with my vestry this thing called God Sightings, and I've kind of, sort of implemented it with the vestry here from time to time. And the idea is that it's an opportunity, it's a space, it's a time within the context of I used the word context about 900 times today, within that time together at the table as the vestry gathers to talk about what I refer to as God sightings, those places, another expression that I've used is sensing the Spirit. Where in our lives are we sensing the movement of God? Where have we had those moments, those encounters that have reminded us of the power of the living God? And let me tell you, I'll show you. I can do a perfect imitation of how this goes. So why don't we take a few minutes to do God sightings? Does anybody have like something they'd like to share? And then Ann Cook starts to feel bad for me, and she says something. And then a couple other people share. But it's always interesting because, and this is the point of this, is that I think people are very uncomfortable with how to express. It's not like you don't think it happens. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But it's people are very uncomfortable with how to publicly express an experience that either may be very, very powerful or, more importantly to me, may seem really mundane, but is definitely God moving in our lives. And people are really uncomfortable with that because they're afraid they're going to say something and somebody is going to be thinking, oh, that's not really what he's talking about. Or, oh, mine's better than yours. And trust me, I know my vestry. That would never happen. I know your vestry. That would never happen. Now, I've had those vestries, but not here. But people have this kind of theological resistance to expressing the movement of God in their own lives. They may feel it. They may pray about it. Push come to shove in a one-on-one experience, they may be able to talk about it. You may read one of Ellen's wonderful pieces and go, oh, I get it, that happened to me too, but you're not going to tell anybody. But what I'm trying to tell you is that Advent is about creating space for those moments. Advent is about preparing our lives to be open to those things. So stay awake. You know, that is really the moral of the story of this gospel, isn't it? Stay awake. Either literally or figuratively, stay awake, be open to the possibility. Because it can be awesome. It can be so life-giving and so life-fulfilling when we open ourselves up to this stuff. Stay awake, because not another generation will pass before the coming of Christ. Not another week will pass before the coming of Christ. Not even this day, this moment, will pass before the coming of Christ. Amen.